If you noticed the bulletin, I did something unusual this week. I gave you a place in the bulletin to make a few notes for the sermon. And I want you, if you have one, and are if you lean in that direction, I've often had people ask me, "Preacher, why don't you give us a place to take notes for the sermon?" Well, I gave you a place today, so we're trying it out today. And if you notice the title of the sermon, How to Know You Are Saved, Part 2, and you were here last week, you'll understand that I'm going to start this week where I left off last week. I think it's important for us as Christians, particularly important as we start a new year, as we start our efforts for the Lord in 2017, to make sure that we are secure in our salvation, that we know that we're saved. Last week, I used 1 John 5:13 as a text where the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And we looked at the things in 1 John, and we said, these are not the things you do to get saved, because salvation is not of works, but these are things that you can look for in your life, and if they're there, you can know that you have eternal life, that you are saved. This morning, I'm going to use one verse that we read a moment ago, a part of it, as my text, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul says, "I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He says, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep under his blood all of my sins." So I'm going to start right there. Paul knew that he was saved. Paul knew that he was on his way to heaven. Paul knew that he had eternal life. So can you. So can I. This morning, I want to hold Paul up as our example, as our pattern, and say, look, Paul knew. We can know as well. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says this, "This thou knowest, and all they which are in Asia, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Pygellus and Hermogenes, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my claim." And so Paul said, "Hey, you know that people have turned away. You know that people have tried to discredit my teaching and my preaching. But Timothy, I want you to know that I know and am persuaded that I am saved, and that you can use me and others can use me as a pattern." Now listen to these verses. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That was what Paul wrote. He said, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. I'm the chiefest of sinners. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering," listen, "for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." What Paul was saying is, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep all my sins under his blood. And because I know, others can know because they can use me as a pattern. Now, a pattern, you seamstress know what a pattern is. A pattern is, you know, patterns come in packages, some of them do, and you cut the pattern out. I never have any experience, but I've heard about it. You cut the pattern out, and you lay it on a cloth, and then you cut the cloth to match that pattern, and then you follow the instructions to make whatever that is a pattern of, a dress or a shirt or an apron, something like that. And Paul says, I've been saved. I know I'm saved. And so you can use me as a pattern. Those that come after me, Timothy, you, and those that come after me can use me as a pattern so that they can know also that they are saved. Now, again, we can't take Paul and lay him out on our life, but we can take Paul's testimony. We can take the times that Paul talked about how he was saved, and we can lay it up against our experience. And if our experience matches the Apostle Paul's experience, then we can say, like the Apostle Paul said, I know and I'm persuaded. I know whom I believe it, and I know that I have eternal life. It's like a grandchild wanting to be like their grandfather or their grandmother, or a child wanting to be like their mom and dad. If they want to be like you, here's what they do. They watch what you do. And by the way, I would remind you this morning, your kids and your grandkids are watching you. You may not understand it and you may not realize it, but they have their eye on mom and dad. They have their eye on grandpa and grandma. And they are patterning some part of their life after how you are living your life. Make sure you're giving them the right pattern. Make sure you're giving them the right example. So Paul says, I can be a pattern to everybody that comes after me. I know whom I believe it. I'm sure I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. And so you can use me as a pattern. Now, by the way, this is one case where we can't use Jesus as our example or pattern, because Jesus didn't need to be saved. Jesus never sinned. He was a holy, righteous Lamb of God, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so we can't use Jesus as our example in this thing of knowing that we're saved. He didn't need to be saved, but Paul did. He said, hey, I'm the worst sinner there is. I'm the chiefest of sinners, and Christ Jesus came into the world to save people like me. And now that I've received Christ, I know, there's no doubt in my mind, that he's able to keep all of my sins under the blood until the day of Christ comes. So I want to mention four things, and this is where you take your bulletin and where you make some notes if you're so inclined that way. Number one, Paul knew where he was saved. He knew where he was saved. In Acts 22, he was given his testimony. And in verse 6, he said this, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus. Paul says, I was saved on the road to Damascus. And I'm sure if Paul was here, he could say, I can take you to the spot. It might have been a bend in the road. It might have been by a certain tree. It might have been by a certain landmark, a big rock or something that was by the side of the road. But Paul says, I was on the Damascus road when I met Christ. I was on the Damascus road when I put my faith and belief in him. There was a great light that shined from heaven, and I heard a voice speak to me, and I could take you to that very spot. That spot on the road to Damascus where I asked Jesus to be my Savior. All right, so if you're taking notes, I want you to take your bulletin. I want you to write, by that word where, write down where you were saved. Write down where you were saved. I know some of your testimonies. I know some of you were saved here at this altar. I know some of you were saved back in the office when it used to be back there. I know some of you were saved in your bedrooms or in your living rooms. I've heard your testimonies, and your testimony ought to include where you were saved. I was saved, as I've shared with you before, at the Glen Eden Baptist Church in Taylor, Michigan. I was in my pastor's study. When you went in at the door of that church, you went up a porch, you went in the door, the nursery and the toddler room were on the right, and the pastor's office was at the end of the hall. It was a good size office. It had tile on the floor, and as you went right in the door, there was a red vinyl couch that sat right inside the door to the left. And I can remember going to that office, sitting on that couch with my pastor, him taking me down the Romans Road, convincing me, and I didn't need much convincing. I already knew I was a sinner. I already knew I'd fallen short of God's glory, fallen short of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he took the Bible, showed me again I was a sinner, showed me the penalty for that sin was separation from him in eternity in hell. He showed me that Jesus died for me, and if I put my faith and trust in him, he would save me. And we got down on our knees in front of that couch, and I bowed my head, and I prayed, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven, but I believe that your son died for me, and right now I'm claiming him as my Savior. That church is still there. If we were so inclined, I could take you to the very spot. I could point to the spot on the tile. I don't think the couch is there anymore. But I could point to you on the spot on the floor where my knees were on the ground. And I can show you the spot where I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Every Christian ought to know where you were when you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Again, different places for all of us. Some in a church, some in a home, some in your backyard. But you need to know, like the Apostle Paul said. He said, I know where I was. I was on a Damascus road. That's where I was when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You ought to know too. So again, write down, where were you when you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Number two, Paul not only knew where he was, he knew when he was saved. And it came to pass, from that same verse in Acts chapter 22, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, he knew the time of day. It might have been 11:55, it might have been 12:05, he doesn't say exactly, he just says it was about noon. That's when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Now notice, he doesn't mention the day of the week. I don't remember the day of the week when I got saved. He doesn't mention the date. I don't remember the date. I mean, I was saved. Well, I don't. I just don't remember. I can guess based on what my mom and dad have told me, but I don't know for sure. Paul says he didn't mention the date. He didn't mention the specific date. He didn't mention the day of the week. But he says, I may not remember the date, and I may not remember what day of the week, but I remember the spot, and I remember about when it was. It was about noon. Again, I don't remember the day of the week. I don't remember the date, but I know about the time. Our church was having a revival service. Started at 7 o'clock that night. Preacher preached for an hour and a half. We went into the office about a quarter till 9. We came out about 9 o'clock. I remember walking out of that office. You talk about being changed. I was changed. I knew there was a change in my life. I had fought being saved for months and months and months. I've shared my testimony with you before. I'd stand in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I'd dig my fingernails into the pew. I was and still am a shy person. You may not believe that, but I'm shy. I did not. I mean, if I had to get saved by walking down in front of a bunch of people, I'd probably still be on my way to hell this morning. I was just too scared to walk in front of a big group of people. And my pastor knew that. He knew I'd been fighting it. I came out that night, was about to go out the door. He said to me, hey, Daryl, don't you think it's about time you got saved? I said, yeah, but I'm too scared to walk in front of all those people. He said, come with me. That's when we went into the office. We spent about, like I said, about 15 minutes in there. It was about 9 o'clock when we came out of that office. I remember walking outside and looking up at the sky. There, the stars never seemed brighter. The night smells never seemed sweeter. I told my mom. She was there with me. My dad was working. I got to call him when I went home. My grandma, who shook her bony finger in my face and told me time after time, you're going to hell if you don't get saved, missed the revival that night. I called her on the phone after we got home. I said, Grandma, where were you tonight? She said, well, I didn't feel too good. I said, you missed something. She said, what'd I miss? I said, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Amen. She rejoiced. Again, I don't know the date. I don't even know the day of the week. But I can tell you it was about 9 o'clock at night. I could tell you it was in that office. Hey, take your bulletin under the wind. Write down. Maybe if you know the date, write down the date. If you know the day of the week, write down the day of the week. If you don't know either one, you ought to know about the time. Maybe you can just write in the morning. Maybe you could just write in the afternoon. Maybe you could just write at night. Every Christian needs to know where they were and about when it was that you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Number three, Paul knew how it happened. He knew how it happened. Again, reading from Acts chapter 22. He said, I saw a great light. I heard a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't know who he was. He didn't know who Jesus was yet, but he knew he was God. He knew he was Lord. And that voice from heaven answered back, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you have persecuted." And I think at that moment that Paul realized that his sin could not be atoned for by his actions. That's what he was trying to do as he persecuted Christians. That's what he was trying to do as a Pharisee. He thought, hey, I can be good enough. I can live a good enough life. I can win favor by God, with God, by my actions. And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus who thou persecutest." At that moment, I think the light of the gospel shined in the heart and soul of Paul. He realized that he was a sinner and could not make up for that sin by his actions. And he realized that when Christ Jesus went to the cross, he went bearing Paul's sins and my sins and your sins. And at that moment, Paul asked Jesus to be his Savior. Now, take your bulletin, under the word "how," write how you got saved. If you write anything but Jesus, you're writing down the wrong answer. Listen, if you write anything but Jesus, you got the wrong answer. It's not works. It's not, look, when I knelt and asked Christ to be my Savior, when I got saved, I wasn't depending on my pastor. I wasn't depending on my church. I wasn't dependent on the Baptist. I was dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And if you think you're saved any other way than believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to examine your salvation this morning. Because He's the only way. He's the only one that leads to salvation. You don't get to God any other way. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. This is what the Bible says. It's not works. It's not how you live your life. It's not who your mom and dad are. It's not the fact that you come to this church. If you're saved, it's because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. How? Jesus. 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 And then number four, Paul knew why he was saved. Acts chapter 22, a little bit later in the chapter, Paul was blind. A man called Ananias came, said, "Paul, God sent me to see you." And he says this, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Paul says, hey, I knew where I was, and I knew about the time, and I knew how. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know why. I know why. He's called me. And like we talked about in Sunday school, Paul didn't think he deserved the call of God to be an apostle. He didn't think he deserved the call of God to be a preacher of Christ. I mean, he had stood against everything that Christ stood for. He had persecuted Christians. He had them arrested. He stood by where while they were stoned. And when God called him to be a preacher, when God called him to be an apostle, when God called him to share the gospel, Paul said, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. There's no way that God should give me this privilege. No way that God should give me this opportunity. He said, but it's an act of grace. An act of grace on God's part to call me and to use me to be a preacher of the gospel. Hey, by the way, when you take your bulletin out and answer that question why, or jot down something by that word why, you write the same word. To share what I've experienced, to witness, to tell others about Jesus. You put it in your own words, but that's why all we were saved. Yes, we were saved because God loves us and wants us to come live with Him eternally. But we were saved unto good works, the book of Ephesians tells us. We were saved to share the gospel. That's why Matthew 4:19 says, "Follow me." Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That's why it says in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's why it says in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's why we were saved, because God loves us, wants us to have a home in heaven, but so that we could share the gospel. That's his plan for getting it out. That's his plan for us to share it. And every Christian can know they're saved if they know, like Paul, where they were, about when it was, how it happened, the Lord Jesus Christ, and why. And why. Now, maybe some of you, because you were honest this morning, you look down at your bulletin and you see all the spaces are still blank. Let me tell you how to fill it in this morning. Where? Fellowship Baptist Church. When? January 22nd, 2017, about noon. You're going to be saved about the same time Paul was. About noon. How? The Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be saved this morning? Got to come through him. Can't come any other way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Why? So that you can go out and tell somebody else. That's why. Hey, if you're here and you're never saved, would you write those answers on the bulletin? And in just a second, would you walk down the aisle and share with us that you've asked Jesus to be your Savior this morning? Not a more important decision you can make. This is a decision that will determine your eternity. You know, there still is a hell. A lot of people today don't believe there's still a hell, but there's still a hell. Hell's never going to be done away with. It's going to exist forever. Satan's going to live there forever, and all those that reject Christ are going to live there forever as well. I hope you're not one of them. I pray you're not one of them. I pray every person here knows what it is to ask Christ to be their Savior. You know where you were, about when it was. You know how. And you know why. You know why. Because we need to tell others. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you gave us a know-so salvation that we can say like the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep everything that I've committed unto him under the blood, paid for, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray if there's even just one this morning that couldn't answer, that couldn't put anything down for either one, for the where, the when, the how, and the why, that right now they'd answer those questions by asking Jesus to save them now. The Bible says now this is the day. The point of time, the acceptable time is now. And I pray, Father, for those that are here and don't know Christ, that they would make that decision. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead them to the Savior this morning. That they would come, admit their sin, they would come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the Christians that are here. Father, as we've relived this morning where we were, about when it was, how we got saved, and why, that we would rejoice in the salvation that we have, and we'd make some new commitments to carry out the instructions that you've given us as a Christian. Help us to share what happened to us, what we've seen and heard, how we got saved, so that others could know the same thing. So, Holy Spirit, just speak to our hearts this morning. For those that are not saved, for those that are saved, if there's some here that need to come for baptism, help those to come. If there's some here that need to come for church membership, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd make it clear and they'd be obedient to what you're leading them to do this morning. So just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.